Have you ever heard the expression about being thrown under the bus? Now, I figured some of you would note from today's little cartoon in the bulletin that it would have something to do with that. And as I was looking the other day, I found that there are numerous websites dedicated to being thrown under the bus. In fact, one website, you can buy t-shirts that say, "I got thrown under the bus." And their opening line is, on that website, is, "Welcome to the I've Got Thrown Under the Bus Club. Are you the latest office tragedy?" And I think probably everyone here, at some time or later, on their job, has been thrown under the bus by somebody. And it may have been somebody that you thought was your friend at some time. So we've probably all experienced that scenario at some point in our life. And if you have been one of the fortunate ones that has not as of yet experienced that, well, just wait. Your time will come. The other day I was at a business, and the owner there is a Christian, and there was someone else, a gentleman that was visiting there, that I kind of thought might be that particular individual's pastor. I don't know. It was just kind of the feeling I got. And they were sitting on the sofa, and I don't know what they'd been discussing when I walked in the door, but he said to the owner, "I just got a message, bus insurance." And he really didn't elaborate beyond that, because we made some comments back and forth. And I actually don't know his name, so I can't give him credit for the title of this message, which is bus insurance. But I'll tell you this, I walked back out to my vehicle and I drove down to the other end of the parking lot, pulled over, got out my notepad and started writing down notes for the message, bus insurance. Now, I have a couple of best friends in the insurance business, so I've got a little bit of insight into what goes on in insurance. But one of the things, and I think we all know this, there's all types of insurance. How many of you have homeowners insurance if you own a home? And if you don't own a home, you probably have renter's insurance. Of course, if you drive a car, you've got auto insurance. Some of you have life insurance. I've always wondered about life insurance, though. Why people who have life insurance still die, you know? So I don't know. That just seems like a kind of a misnomer for it there. They're playing with words there. You've got medical insurance or health insurance that pays the bills if you have to go see the doctor. That when somebody throws you under that bus and you've got to go get those broken bones reset, you know, and you can go there. We even have pet insurance. You can buy medical insurance for your pet. Anthony, you can get insurance for your parrot. And I've seen this a lot, especially with dogs and cats, so that they have pet insurance. They have funeral insurance, so that you can take out an insurance plan that will pay for your final expenses so that your loved ones won't have to. And, of course, there's a lot of other types of insurance that there are, but how many have bus insurance? No, there is no insurance about being thrown under the bus by people that we have thought were sometimes our friends, sometimes even family. And there are times that when you've experienced something like this, that it may seem like that your world has come to an end, or that life just is barely worth living anymore. And because of this, you may have felt unloved, unwanted. Did you ever have an experience like that? Yeah, I think just about everybody here is shaking their head yes. Yeah, we've all come to points like this when it seemed like it just worth going on anymore. God, I'm just tired of it all. Take me now. Sometimes that's the way we feel when we go through some of these things. As I said, I have two best friends in the insurance business. Those of you who attend this church or fellowship know that one of them is my wife. Well, I want to share some insights that my other friend in the insurance business has given to me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, in the King James Version reads, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." I want to also read that scripture to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. And as I was completing my notes last night, I looked up this particular verse in every translation I had available on my computer Bible. And I liked this one here from the Complete Jewish Bible, which says, "Some friends pretend to be friends, but a true friend sticks closer than a brother." There are times that we have that even our own family would turn against us. And they would be the ones that would throw us under the bus if it benefits them the best. There are people that we have maybe known for a long period of time and we thought we had a close relationship with, a close friendship with. But when it works to their advantage, we find ourselves under that bus. They've gotten rid of us. And I know I've had this happen to me a number of times, and unfortunately it's been with people in the ministry who, if it promoted them a little bit more, if it helped their cause a little bit more, they were willing to throw me under the bus to achieve what they wanted to achieve. And you find that as you go in your daily walk and whatever you're doing, there will be times that people you thought were your friends will throw you under the bus. The Hebrew word that's translated friend, ahab, is translated friend or friends 12 times. But it's translated love 169 times. A true person who truly loves you will be closer than a brother. But there are some folks who will pretend they love you, and those are the ones that will throw you under the bus. And you know, I'm glad that in my walk over these many years, and I was raised in church, I don't know any life outside the church. You know, so there's things that people talk about I really don't always understand. You know, I've kind of learned some things about things that happen out in the world, but I never experienced it. I didn't grow up in that. But over that period of time, I have come to find people who became my friends. They truly loved me as a person. And when I went through hard times, I could know that they were there for me, that they would do whatever it took to stand up for me and to help me through whatever hardship I might be going through. They weren't family. They were people I met in church. And when I say they weren't family, I'm talking about blood relationship. But they were family through the church. They were family through Jesus Christ. And they stuck up before me. They were there when I needed them. And they still are today, some 40, 50 years later. I still know that I could call them up and say, "I need help." And they would do whatever they could do to help me. That is a true friend. that sticks closer than a brother. That's a friend who's not going to throw you under the bus just because it makes them maybe look a little bit better, or makes them accomplish something that they want to accomplish. So a true friend will stick with you. They'll be there holding your hand to the bitter end, if that's what it takes. I have a friend who can provide you with bus insurance. My friend will be there when that bus runs over you. He'll be there when you feel like all hope is lost. My friend will be there to console you during these hard times you go through in your life. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how well you've got it made. There will be times that you will go through in your life that you will feel like there is no hope, that all is lost. We had prayer just a few moments ago for a young family that lost a baby that was just born. And I know that that's probably one of the most heart-rending times that they will go through in their life. But my friend can be there to comfort them, to bring them hope, to bring them peace, even, yes, bring them joy back into their life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are struggling and burdened, and I'll give you rest." And when life throws you under the bus, he'll be there to comfort you, to soothe you, to give you rest. My friend is also in the health insurance business. Matthew chapter 14:14 says, "When he came ashore, he saw a huge crowd and was filled with compassion for them. He healed those of them that were sick." I've got a friend that when you're sick, he can heal your sick body. When your body is broken, he can mend that body. He can restore those to health that the world gives no hope for. I've known people that were in stage 4 cancer, had days, weeks at most, maybe to live. But my friend came into their life and reversed it. And they're still enjoying health. They're still enjoying what God has blessed them with, because he has reversed what the enemy tried to take away. And there are times in your life, if you are a child of God particularly, that the enemy will come along and he will do his best to destroy your life, to destroy your health, to take from you what God wants you to have. But my friend has got more power than he's got. My friend can restore you to health. And those of you that have gone here any length of time to this church have heard me mention several times that when I was 6 years old, I caught double pneumonia and whooping cough at the same time. And to top it off, I vomited constantly. Couldn't keep anything on my stomach. I was put in the hospital for a week. They couldn't find what was wrong with me. And they didn't do intravenous feeding back then, so some of you, that's going to really date me. But they didn't plug something into your arm and feed you that way. The hospital had orders. If I wanted something to eat at 3 o'clock in the morning, they were to fix me something to eat, because they needed that to keep me alive. And they sent me home to waste away. My mother invited a little lady who was going to the church they went to, asked specifically that she come to pray for me on a particular Saturday. This little lady, as I've mentioned before, a lot of the people in the church and her friends and people that knew her thought that she was rowing upstream with only one oar, that she didn't quite have it all there. But I've got news. She knew my friend. And she knew how to speak to my friend and how to reach my friend. And she came out. I don't remember the prayer she prayed. I was only 6 years old. But I do know that the next day, I was able to eat and keep food down. My mother had been told that eventually I would start throwing up pieces of my lungs, and that she was to watch for it. And on Monday morning, I threw up, and there was a chunk of something in it, and she panicked. I'll have to tell you, she panicked, because she just knew it was all over for me at that point. My uncle was coming to take me to an appointment I already had. He looked at it and said, "That looks like Kleenex to me." They took it to the doctor. The doctor said, "That's Kleenex." I had a piece of Kleenex about the size of a quarter on my lung for 3 months, and that's what was killing me. But my friend intervened, and it came up. Yes, I have scar tissue on my lung today from it, but my friend stepped in, and I'm here today. And I've had other instances where my friend stepped in and he restored me to health. Because several years ago, I felt pressure on my chest. I went to the doctor and he kind of poo-pooed it. And I went back and I said, "I got to see somebody else. There's a problem." So he took x-rays and said, "I'm sending you to a specialist." They ordered more tests. And the specialist, when I went back in, and I had the church pray for me during that time, went back and he says, "Today's appointment was to discuss your surgery to remove that mass that's on your chest." But he says, "It's gone." He says, "It was there, but it's gone." I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's gone." So my friend is in the health insurance business. Goes on. He's also in the home insurance business. You know, we live in an area that gets windstorms and stuff, and probably everybody that has home insurance has sometimes had to file a claim because of maybe wind damage or whatever. But my friend is in the home insurance business because he'll take care of your home. When we have these events occur, and when I was living in California and there were a lot of earthquakes and some very severe earthquakes, I've told you before, I anointed the four corners of my property and I prayed over them. And when the one disastrous earthquake happened in the early 90s, buildings were damaged, freeways collapsed, people were killed. My neighbor had stuff thrown from one side of his garage to the other. I got home because it happened after I had left in the morning. I came home that evening. I was concerned because my radio studio was out in my garage. I went out there. Not one thing in my garage was out of place. Yes, we had something fall in the house and broke a little figurine. That was it. Our total damage. Had it happen time after time where we have prayed over our house and we've been spared. And I've got news for you. When I'm home and we hear that there's a tornado coming through the area here in Tennessee, and particularly Murray County and their surrounding areas where some of you folks live, I ask God to watch over each one of you's home, your property. I plead the blood over it because my friend can take care of it. so that you don't have to see State Farm or those other guys who claim to be your friend. They're your friend as long as you keep paying them the money. My friends in the insurance are in the funeral insurance business. Now, there's nothing wrong with going down and meeting with somebody and preparing for those days that are going to come to every man unless the rapture takes place before it happens to us. And some of us here, probably the rapture will take place before it comes time for that. But there's nothing wrong with planning in advance for things and being prepared. But I got a friend in the funeral insurance business. And no, he's not going to sell you the same kind of policy they're going to sell you. Because he says in Matthew 28:20, he says, "In teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I will be with you always, yes, even unto the end of the age." He is going to be there with you no matter what happens. And when it comes about, in one version it says, translation, it says the end of the world, but it's the end of the age. And it's just you passing from one place to another, but he's going to be there with you to hold your hand through it. I was watching a program on the Inspirational Network a couple of weeks ago titled, "Where Do People Go When They Die?" And one of it is talking about, and somebody said, "I believe that when it comes a person's time to cross over, to make that journey from earth to heaven, that God sends an angel to go with them." And they talked of experiences that people had had. And I remember my own dad was in the hospital for treatment for something, for some tests. Wasn't expected to die, but was in there, set up in bed, close to midnight, I believe it was. Smiled, reached out for that one that he saw coming through the door, and laid back down and breathed his final breath. But he saw what was coming. He saw the glories that heaven had for him. He saw that he was not alone. And there have been testimony after testimony of people that have done that. And for those of you that listen to Messages on Demand, we have a message on there about that. And I, for the life of me at the moment, can't think of the title of it. But it has to do about how God takes care of us and how he sends his angels to take care of us. But he's in a business to be there with us. When we come even to our final moment here on planet Earth, he will be there for us. We don't have to be alone. And lastly, he's in the life insurance business. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they might have life, life in its fullest measure." He has come to give you life that you can live to the fullest. Oh, there's people out there that think that they're living life to the fullest when they're out doing this, that, or the other. But the only way that you ever live life to the fullest is when you have a relationship with my friend. And by now, most of you have probably guessed who my friend is. His name is Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. He is my friend. And I know that he's going to be there with me. I know he's not going to throw me under the bus someday just to because of something else that came along. He will be there with me. And when somebody else throws me under the bus, he'll be there to pull me out. He'll be there to restore me to health. He'll be there to take care of me and nourish me. He is my friend. His name is Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, he's my friend. Oh. John chapter 6, verse 68. Shimon Kepha answered him, this is Simon Peter, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the word of eternal life." He has eternal life. He has the way, and it is only through Him that we can have eternal life with God. Now, when we go out and we purchase some of the various types of insurance policies that we've talked about in the very beginning of this message, auto, home, life, funeral, health, whatever, it's going to cost you a pretty penny sometimes. I know I opened my insurance bill back a couple of months ago, and it about sent me to visit my health insurance company when I looked at the price, because it had almost doubled for no reason. And you feel helpless and at their mercy. And I had to search and search to find somebody else. But I've got news for you. My friend doesn't charge you. It's not going to cost you a dime, because you don't have the money to buy it. All the silver, all the gold, all the diamonds, all the jewels of this world can't buy what He has to offer. Because you see, He has already paid the price for you. He has already given His life on Calvary's cross that you could have life eternal, that you could have this relationship with Him. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who trusts in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in Him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. Insurance policies. All of you that have various types know that they come with a contract, they come with a policy, they come with declarations, they come with ins and outs. And I also know that sometimes even the people who write those policies don't understand it, what they've written. Come with all these forms. My friends comes with a policy too. It comes with declarations. It's called God's Word. It's called the Holy Bible here in America. It is His Word. And we can read in His Word what we have and what He has in store for us. And I've got news for you. If you're not His friend, if you're not a friend of God, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you can still read in His book here what's in store for you, because you don't have Him. But He also tells you how there is a way to get out of that and become a part of this contract, become a part of this policy, become a part of this coverage that He has already paid for you. He can show you how to receive all the benefits that I've just talked about. And He wants to be your friend. And if you're listening to me today and you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you've never accepted what He has done for you, what He has already paid for you, then today is the time. Now is the time to say, Jesus, I surrender my life to You. Come into my heart. I want You to be my friend, and I want to be Your friend. I want to be there for you just as You are there for me. And maybe you might say, well, how can I be there for Him because He's God? He'll show you how. Just hanging in there, staying true to what God's Word has to say is being there for Him. He doesn't expect us to do a lot of magnificent, miraculous things that only God can do. He just expects us to be faithful and to hold on and maintain our relationship. So if you're listening to me today, wherever it may be, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. It's time to surrender your life to Him and ask Him into your heart. And Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. I ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts that are listening to this message, wherever it may be, here on planet Earth. And Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict those that need a relationship of that need. And that today lives would be changed, Father. The people would come into the kingdom of God because of what Yeshua has already done for them on the cross of Calvary. And they accept that, and they become his friend. Just as you spoke of some of people in the Old Testament time and said they were a friend of God. So we too today that have Jesus in our heart can say we're a friend of God. He is our friend. He is our best friend. I thank you for that today. In Yeshua's name, amen, amen.